Thank you, and thank you each of you for joining us this evening for a very special program. I Heard the Bells is the title of our program here this evening, a Christmas musical and drama. Our choir and drama team have worked hard to prepare this for you, and we're thankful that you can be a part of our special services this evening. If you are a brand new visitor with us, or perhaps first time in a long time, we do want to say especially thank you to you. Right after the program, I'd love to have the opportunity to meet you in our Welcome Center right out through those doors. There are gift bags available for you. Those gifts are from us to you. So if you are a first-time visitor, perhaps first time in a long time, before you go home, make sure you get a Christmas gift from us as a way of saying thank you for joining us this evening. As we're making our way through the program this evening, perhaps you've already seen in the program itself, there's some moments for both the choir and the congregation to join together. You'll be able to know when those are happening. Pastor Paul will signal it to you by turning around and facing you. The lyrics for those carols will be on the screen, so you'll be able to join the choir, as it were, during those times, and just follow Pastor Paul along, and we'll have a sweet time together. Let's begin our services with a word of prayer, and then we'll hand it over to our choir and drama teams together. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the privilege it is to be together here on a Sunday evening, on a Christmas Sunday evening, to learn more about you. Lord, as we hear the familiar carols sung and we see a drama unfold before us, may our eyes be understanding, our hearts be understanding, our hearts also reflect upward of what your Son did by coming to be born in a manger, to die on a cross, and eventually to resurrect from the dead to save us from our sins. Lord, we thank you for that. In your name, amen.
Sorry, but could you please turn down that music? It's very festive and loud. I'm sorry, the music in this taxi is super loud. What was that you're saying? I can't hear you. You're breaking up.
I said, are you coming home for Christmas or not? You still haven't given me a straight answer, Casey.
Is this all that we can talk about? Why are you so obsessed with this?
I told you multiple times, Casey. Mom needs you home this Christmas.
What does that even mean, she needs me home? You know you're just guilting me into this, right?
Honestly, you should feel guilty for not visiting your widow mother for 2 years.
You always exaggerate, Stephen, and then you throw in the widow thing to make me feel even more terrible.
A month ago, at Thanksgiving, you said that you couldn't come, but you'd try for Christmas. And I told Mom.
Why would you even do that? You know I always say that, just to be nice.
Nice? Ugh, definitely not a word I can use to describe you.
This is exactly why I don't like coming home.
Casey, can you at least...
No. No, you know what? At this point, you couldn't pay me to stomach another Christmas at home.
Casey!
No, I have to go. The concert is starting. Just tell her I can't come.
Thank you. Casey, come into my office.
Sorry I'm late, sir. The traffic was terrible.
The traffic's always terrible, and you're often late. Take a seat. Listen, I don't have much time, so I'll cut right to the chase.
Okay.
I just finished reading your review of Our Messiah's Birth.
I told you that show was going to be a snooze fest.
Snooze fest. Casey, it wasn't a show. It was a concert. Traditional Christmas music played by some of the best-known instrumentalists of our time.
And I said that, and I did it in a witty and ironic way.
You say witty, ironic. Our readers are saying cynical and cheeky.
You've got to be joking.
I'm not joking, Casey. Listen. I called you in because I have a special assignment for you.
Okay, tell me. It's the Prime Minister's visit.
It's the Christmas edition.
What? About the Prime Minister.
Christmas is Christmas Eve issue, full article, front page.
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
I'm not kidding, Casey. Forget the Prime Minister. Think about family Christmas traditions.
What did I do to deserve this?
Maybe the true meaning of Christmas. Beloved Christmas carols, I don't care which one you pick, but it needs to be merry and bright. Our readers are crazy for warm, fuzzy Christmas content, probably because of all the TV holiday movies.
I can't stand those movies.
Well, the rest of America loves those movies, and you need to channel that.
Mr. Parker, I literally can't.
Casey, you don't understand. This is your last chance. If I get a whiff of sarcasm.
You've got it, sir. Merry and bright.
That's right. Mm. Merry and bright. I think you should go home for Christmas. Seems to me you told me your mother pulls out all the stops for Christmas, and it might inspire you.
You have no idea.
Thank you.
What? Who said? She said she wouldn't be coming this year.
Well, there must have been some kind of mistake, because she is coming, and she is almost here.
Mom, she made it very clear that she wasn't coming this year.
Surprise, everyone!
No, she's here! Oh, I knew you were going to come. I just knew it.
Hey, Mom. Feels like I haven't seen you in a few months.
24 months, to be exact.
Oh, I'm just so glad that you're here. I can just burst. I got your room ready, and I got that coffee that you like.
And she slaughtered the fatted calf.
Stephen, isn't it just great that Casey's home for Christmas?
Well, it is a surprise, that's for sure.
It's good to see you too, Stevie.
Oh, it's time for me to go. Can you two just entertain each other for an hour or
so? Well, where are you running off to?
I have rehearsal for the Christmas program.
Oh, that sounds great. I'd love to go.
Well, we'd love to have you. There's always room.
Are you joking?
No, Stephen, I'm not joking. And yeah, Mom, that sounds great. Why don't you sign me up?
This just makes me so happy. I'm just going to go get my purse.
Okay.
So, what's going on here, Casey?
Can't I just enjoy a quiet Christmas at home?
So, suddenly you can stomach it?
Oh, I was just in a mood when I said that.
And going to church with Mom? You haven't darkened the doors of a church in ages.
People change, Stevie.
Well, Casey.
I'm ready when you are.
The first song in the program is the Western Carol. Do you remember that one?
What was that one about again?
Oh, it's a beautiful Irish carol that talks about remembering what God has done for us at Christmas time.
Uh-huh.
And the poetry is just beautiful.
Mm.
Good Christians, good people all, this Christmas time, consider well and bear in mind what our good God for us has done in sending his beloved son.
Mm-hmm.
Are you taking notes, Casey?
Well, pardon me if I'm interested in Christmas. See you later, Scrooge. Okay. As I sit here by the fireside and contemplate the wonderful memories of this most festive of seasons, my heart is filled with warmth and love and Christmas cheer. I am so going to get fired. Okay, I'm just going to stick to the plan. I'm going to write about the songs in the Christmas program. Our favorite carols endure for a reason, whether the beautiful melodies that get stuck in our head or the memories that draw. No. The timeless truths they teach. Ooh, yes, that's good. Each Christmas, the small country church of my childhood includes in their Christmas program that old favorite American hymn, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, written by the poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. What you may not know about this quaint carol is that it was composed under the bleakest of circumstances. In the summer of 1863, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow lost his beloved wife, Fanny, in a tragic fire, and he was severely wounded, trying desperately to rescue her from the flames. And then, as he was still recovering, his son ran away to join the Union Army, for the Civil War was raging in America. As winter approached, Henry's son went missing, and after weeks of searching, he found him near death. Henry entered that Christmas season with a heavy heart. Many know the sadness that holidays can bring when we have lost a loved one or suffered a tragedy. But as Henry wrestled with these feelings, he heard the bells and he thought of the words of those familiar quaint carols. And they inspired him to pen the words, "Then pealed the bells more loud and deep, God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men." God is not dead, nor doth he sleep.
Thank you.
You know, that song has become very special to me. The author wrote it right after losing a beloved spouse.
I know. I was just reading about it.
You were?
Yeah, Wikipedia.
Wiki who? Oh, Casey?
What?
It's Kenneth Martin.
Who?
Let me fix your hair.
Mother.
Stand up straight.
Mom.
Kenneth, you, Kenneth! Come see my daughter, Casey.
Who's Kenneth?
Oh, he's the nicest young man. He just started coming a couple of months ago. And most importantly, he's...
Hey, Miss Harris.
Single. Kenneth, I was just telling my daughter, Casey, all about you.
It's nice to meet you, Casey.
All the juicy details.
I remembered. I need to,
Mother?
Barbara, did you call
Mom?
Me?
She did not call you, Mother. Sorry about that. My mom's a kind of a character.
You've got that right. She's one of the nicest people here at church.
Yeah. So, you come around here often?
Well, every week. Lately, at least.
Oh. You know, did you just move to the area? Because I don't remember seeing you before.
Well, I grew up just down the street, but I only recently got saved and started attending.
Oh, that explains it. I grew up in this church.
Oh, I envy you. This place has been such a lifeline for me. I've been growing so much lately.
Yeah, it's pretty great, I guess. What do you like about the Christmas program so much?
The music, particularly. It's crazy to me that I've heard all these carols for years, but I've never really stopped to listen to the lyrics or understand what they were saying.
Ah, okay. All right. Go on.
Like this one. Hark, the herald angels sing.
Every fourth grader knows that one.
But the words are incredibly powerful.
Such as?
Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Mm-hmm. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Life and light to all he brings. Risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth.
Born
to give them second birth.
Thank you.
Hello?
Is Casey there?
Oh, I'm sorry. She's not here. Have you tried her cell phone?
Yeah, I've tried several times. She's not answering. Probably sees me calling. Listen, can you give her a message for me? Tell her the deadline has been moved up by 24 hours. They want the full Christmas special in-house on the 22nd for the layout team.
Christmas special? You mean as in a Christmas article?
Yeah, you got it. And tell her she doesn't have to call me back. Oh, tell her Merry and Bright.
So that's why she's here. I guess some people never change.
It's just amazing to me that these gospel lyrics and doctrinal truths are sung everywhere for a whole month. It really makes this the perfect time of the year to tell other people about Christ.
Yeah, I guess so, but I just think you have to be careful about how you come across.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, it's fine to believe in Jesus, but you don't want to offend other people that don't. You know what I mean.
Maybe I'm misunderstanding you. Are you saying that we shouldn't witness to others?
No, I just think that if you preach too much, it can turn people off. I live in the real world. You just don't talk about religion. It's taboo. And besides, I don't know, offending people is a sin too, right?
Casey, the gospel is offensive. Christ himself told us that we would be hated and persecuted for his name's sake.
You're misunderstanding me. I just think that we should love people and not judge them. But when you say things like, you're wrong, or believe in the Bible, or you're going to hell, it really turns people off. I grew up in this stuff. I know how judgy it can be.
Well, I didn't grow up in this stuff, and all I know how to go by is the Bible. And in the Bible, it clearly says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him.
I know.
It also says that we're all lost in sin, headed for hell, and only faith in Christ can save us. The Bible, telling people about the Bible is the most loving thing we can do, even if it offends them. The Bible tells us to tell them.
I know what the Bible says.
But it sounds like you don't believe it.
Of course I believe it. Well, I mean, I grew up in it. I just think that we should be more inclusive.
The Bible is absolutely inclusive. For all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and God isn't willing that any should perish. But the Bible's also exclusive. There's only one God, who had only one son, whose death and resurrection provides the only way for salvation. And it's only by faith in him that we can have eternal life. He is the only way.
The Lord our God is one Lord. He chose and called you out, a people for his own. One way he has ordained, a covering for sinners' shame. A sacrifice must pay, for only blood atones. Only one left his throne, only one begotten Son, only one spotless Lamb could sacrifice. Only one power can save, only one empty grave, only one narrow way, Jesus Christ. Hear, O guilty man, your soul is lost and judgment comes. For by one man who sinned, death entered in the world. His only Son, the sacrifice to pay and death to overcome. Only one left His throne, only one begotten Son, only one spotless Lamb who was sacrificed. Only one power can save, only one empty grave, only one narrow way, Jesus Christ. One faith in Christ alone, one truth I'm resting on, one life He
Casey, is that you?
Yeah, Mom.
Well, did you have a good time? Isn't he nice and handsome?
Oh, Mom.
I just knew the two of you would hit it off. I saw you two sitting on the stairs, staring deeply into each other's eyes.
Actually, Mom, we were arguing.
Arguing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what were you doing that for?
Well, whatever you had in your head about the two of us, you can forget it, because we live on two different planets.
Well, honey, you better move to his planet, because there aren't many men like him in the universe.
That was actually kind of clever.
Well, where do you think you got the dramatic flair in your writing? But seriously, you two seem perfect together.
Mom, it's just not going to work.
Nothing a little mistletoe couldn't fix.
A mother?
What? I'm just teasing. Tell me, what happened?
Well, he's just like all the other church guys.
Church guys? And what exactly is that supposed to mean?
Mom, can we not go through this again?
But I thought things were different. You seem like you had changed.
But you didn't change, did you, Casey?
Great. Now it's 2-on-1.
Your editor called while you were away, and your deadline has been moved up.
He called here?
Yeah, but I figured that you probably got plenty of material for your holiday article.
What's going on?
I'm writing a Christmas article for the Herald. It's about family Christmas traditions.
And that's why you came home?
No, but also to see you.
There's always an angle, Casey.
Stephen, don't go.
I'm sorry, Mom. I didn't mean to ruin Christmas.
Oh, you didn't ruin Christmas.
Oh, really?
Well, maybe Christmas Eve, but not Christmas. Oh, I'm just kidding. I'm just glad to have you home.
Well, I wish we could just not talk about religion or faith and just leave it all alone and get along.
Oh, honey, that will never happen. We care too much about you for that. You know I try to tread carefully with you sometimes, but what I don't get to say, I pray.
Well, at least you love me. Stephen hates me.
Oh, he most certainly does not. He just has a hard time watching you drift away. We know that you know the truth. You know you should be in church and following the Lord. You just don't seem to care at all.
But it's just not that simple.
But it is simple. Do you know Christ is your Savior? Are you living for Him? You haven't been the same since your father passed.
Oh, Mom, don't take this the wrong way. But look at yourself. You and Dad were like such good Christians. You went to church every Sunday. And then before Dad even reaches his 60th birthday, God just takes him away and leaves you all alone with a struggling business and debt. Where was he? The other day, I tried to write about Dad's old Christmas tradition. Remember when he used to wrap a gift of us and put it underneath the tree? And I just couldn't.
So he could remember what a wonderful gift God had given to him.
Yeah, but now he's gone. God took him away. He just doesn't care.
Oh, honey, you don't know God. God is so good. Even when I don't feel like he's good, he is good. Even if everything is falling apart, he's still in control, and he is still good. God isn't the author of sin.
I know. Mankind caused sin.
No, honey, you don't know. You don't trust him because you don't know him. God is so good that the Bible says there's no darkness in him. He's so good that he sends blessings on the just and the unjust. He's perfect and holy, and his name is love. I know you've heard this your whole life, but it just hasn't touched your heart. God is so good that he gave his only son to die for us. And every good thing on this earth is his handiwork. And every blessing in my life, I can thank him for. And even though you don't realize it yet, every good and perfect gift in your life comes straight down from the Father of lights.
reflect our Father's love. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, who remains unchanged, forever raised, who makes his face to shine upon his child. Who makes his face to shine.
Oh, hey, Casey, wait up.
Sorry, Kenneth. I can't really talk right now.
Oh,
I need to get some air.
I just wanted to finish our conversation from earlier.
Maybe later? I'm not up for it right now.
You seem upset. Is something wrong?
Well, I am upset. I'm scared. I grew up in church. I know all about the Bible. I'm a good person, right? But I'm not really sure of anything anymore. Maybe I'm not a good person.
So you're scared because you grew up in church?
Earlier, my mom basically just said that I'm not saved. And when I listen to the Christmas story, I feel like something's missing. When I think about it, it scares me.
Oh, Casey, I know what you're missing. I was there a few months ago. You're missing a relationship with Christ. A few months ago, when I repented of my sins and I accepted Christ as my Savior, my whole life was filled with new meaning. I'd finally found what I was missing.
That's nice, but I just want to believe in my own way and on my own terms. Although, I do feel lost now, and no matter what I do, I feel like I'm getting farther away from God. I mean, of course I want to be saved.
Casey, that's only possible through God's plan of salvation. Christ says that the path to destruction is wide, and there are many people that follow it. Casey, I think you're on that path. But the Bible also says that if you profess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved.
You know, you're right. I think I am separated from God. But it's his fault. He took away my dad when I was little.
Oh, I'm sorry, Casey. I didn't know about your dad.
God didn't love me then because he let my dad die. So I don't see why I should love him now.
Well, Casey, God loves you more than any person ever will. He sees your needs. He knows your faults, and he provides a way of salvation so that you can have a relationship with him. When Christ was on earth, he sought out the sick. He lifted up the brokenhearted. And he wants to have that same kind of relationship with you.
Hmm. But, like, how do I admit that now? I mean, how do I admit that I've lived my whole life as a lie? I mean, out in the real world, people will make fun of me. I could lose my friends, maybe even my job.
Casey, what you're missing is so much bigger than your friends or your job. Christ was rejected while he was on earth. He knows it won't be easy for you, but he'll provide you with strength and comfort as you follow him.
You know, I think you're right. Jesus did love me. He did die for me, and he does love me. I've been so mean to the people around me and really proud of my own self. Kenneth, I think I need to repent. Could we pray right now?
Of course. I know a quiet place right over here.
Okay.
And you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Mom, I have to say something.
Well, I have more to say, too. While you were gone, I wrote down all the verses that I couldn't think of and all the things I wanted to say but couldn't remember.
Oh. Mom, I just got saved.
What?
I wasn't saved.
Oh, honey, I've known that for years. I was just hoping I was wrong.
But I just got saved like 5 minutes ago.
What happened?
Well, Kenneth and I were talking about faith and salvation. I realized that I'm a sinner that needs a savior, and I prayed and repented, and I just got saved.
Oh, honey, this makes me so happy I can't see straight. After all these years. Oh, and I'm going to give you a hug, too.
Oh, that's a tight grip.
Oh, your brother. I've got to tell your brother. Stephen!
Oh, no, Stephen.
Well, what's wrong?
Well, he's probably going to think that I'm, like, making this up to, like, maybe stay longer or date you. He has a really wild imagination.
Stephen, come in here. You're not going to believe what happened to your sister.
Yeah, probably not.
I can't do this.
Just tell him what you believe, what you really believe.
Okay.
Well, what is it?
Well, Stephen, today I decided that I believe in God, that I am a sinner that needed a savior, that Christ loves me and died for me, and I'm sure there's something I'm missing, but that's about the basic gist of it.
Casey!
You're not upset?
Are you kidding? I've been praying for this for years.
Oh, I thought we were going to have a prodigal sibling moment there for a second.
Are you kidding? I'll go get the fatted calf myself.
Oh, wait, guys. It's a quarter till. We're going to be late.
Oh, we've got to go. We'll miss the program.
Are you coming, Casey?
I wouldn't miss it for the world. Each December, we set aside time to reflect upon the birth of a baby, a birth that to most of the world seemed common and insignificant. But the child born in Bethlehem that night was no ordinary child. Prophets foretold of him, and angels proclaimed his birth. He has many names: Emmanuel, Jesus, the Lamb of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, the Way, the Truth, and the Life. This Christmas, let us come and worship this Jesus, high and lifted up, who left heaven's glories to come to earth and die on a cross for our sins. Come, you faithful, you believers, and join your voices with the angels in heaven and the saints of all the ages in worship and adoration of this Savior, who is Christ the Lord.
Oh,
Thank you, choir, and those that participated even through drama this evening. You know, one of the most significant things about Scripture, and certainly there are a lot of things that we can rejoice about, when it comes to Christianity, many will ask, why do you accept Christianity and what basis do you do so? Well, first of all, the basis is on the Word of God. This is our foundation. Everything that we do and we believe is based solely on what we have enfolded in this Scripture. One amazing thing about God's Word is that from the beginning of the Word all the way to the end, it has the same story. And the story really is that there is a problem, and the problem is common to all mankind. It's a problem called sin. We know where that problem began. It began with Adam and Eve in the garden when they disobeyed God. And upon that moment, there was a curse placed upon all mankind. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also told us in the very moment that that problem occurred, a problem called sin, the curse was placed. But as soon as that curse was placed, a promise was given. God would send one who would be the Savior for our sins. And so all throughout the Old Testament, we read fascinating stories of mankind trying to look towards this coming one. They called him the Messiah. They called him Christ, Christ meaning the Messiah. And they looked forward to this coming one, this promised one, this anointed one. They longed for him to come. They desired him to come. They needed a Savior. And then Jesus did come. But he didn't come how many expected him to come, did he? He didn't come with great fanfare. He didn't come with all of the robes of a king. Instead, he was swaddled in a manger and laid there amongst the cattle. Shepherds were the first to celebrate him. And it wasn't with all the fanfare even when he came into Jerusalem either. He didn't come on a great steed. He came riding in on a donkey. But he did do something that no king could have done, at least no earthly king. He died on a cross after living a perfect life. And when he died on that cross, he was the sacrifice for your sins and for mine. Titus 2, verse 11 would say, "For the grace of God has appeared." The grace of God that everything had been looking forward to, everything that had appeared, longed for, has finally come. And this grace that brings salvation has appeared to all men. But friend, you know when Jesus died, he didn't stay dead. Jesus lives. And that first birth, Jesus in a manger, testified of a new birth that you can now have if you accept Christ as your Savior, even as you saw unfolded in drama. There is only one way. And while that may seem rather exclusive, it's very inclusive, as they put in good words. All who would come to Jesus can come through this exclusive door to trust him as their personal Lord and Savior. That is our desire for you this evening. Our desire is that you would accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. We are certainly thankful for all that are joined. We're thankful for all the hard work that went into putting this together. But our greatest desire is that if you don't know Christ as your Savior, today would be that day that you would accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Before we go, though, I do want to say a special thanks to those that did put it on, not just our choir and our drama team, but also several individuals who were both directing and leading and playing the instruments. And the choir actually put together a gift, and I'm going to invite Colleen to come back and Kurt as well. And this is for our pianists, our organists, and Pastor Paul. And so this gift is for them, for Pastor Paul, Susan, and Carol on the organ and the piano. Let's give them a round of applause as Colleen gives a gift to them. And some poinsettias as well for the ladies. I've heard the trick to keeping poinsettias alive is actually ice cubes, believe it or not. There was a lady that I knew in Indiana that got a poinsettia one Christmas, and she had kept it alive for over 10 years by giving it 2 ice cubes a day. I don't know how that works, but that's pretty amazing. Now, it had long since lost its red hue, but it was still alive, and she had it. We'll see if you can keep it as long as that one. That's the threshold. All right. We're so thankful for that. If you are joining us this evening for the first time, let me repeat myself and say we're thankful that you are here. We do have a gift for you available in the lobby there, in the Welcome Center, actually. And there's a gift there. Make sure you grab one on your way out this evening. It'll maybe be your first Christmas gift. I don't know. But we're so thankful that you can be with us this evening. And this Friday evening, we will be having a 6:30 service that will be taking place right here in the auditorium. A 6 o'clock Eve candlelight service here in the auditorium. There'll be no Wednesday evening services because of that. Sunday, next Sunday, we have a lot to look forward to. There won't be Sunday school on the 26th in part for staffing reasons, but we will still have a morning service. And then in the evening, it is our last legal chance to sing Christmas carols because it's still December. So in the evening, we'll have a Christmas carol. And we also invite you to bring your Christmas cookies to share. So if you've got some Christmas cookies, bring them into the fellowship hall. We'll have a wonderful time together with the carol sing and cookies. A lot to look forward to. And I'm sure you have other plans as well with your family members. We trust you do. Whether they're here local or you're going, may you have a Merry Christmas. Let's go ahead and close our services and time together in prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for the privilege it is to come in and see the gospel unfolded both in song and drama. Lord, we are thankful for those behind me that put so much hard effort into what we just saw displayed. We're thankful for the excellence of the program. But Lord, we're most thankful for what the program conveyed, that Jesus is the only way to salvation, but he offers that for all of us. Lord, there may be some either watching this right now online, either here in the room or perhaps at a later date watching this, that do not know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. It is our distinct desire and our prayer that all that has been said and done would direct them and call their attention to their need to be saved. May today, even right now, be the day of their salvation. May even they have the courage to talk to someone about that need and perhaps through that have a conversation from God's Word to show how Jesus Christ is their hope and their way to salvation. As we depart, may each of us have a Merry Christmas. We pray this in your name. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.